This is Gridiron Graduates, a weekly podcast covering all things football. Episode number 43, Bush League, recorded August 25th, 2016.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Gridiron Graduates. Bill Rossetti hitting you guys back up, along with my good buddy Ian Wharton. Ian, what's going on, my brother? Welcome back. Always glad to have you.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Glad to be on, and we're hitting week three of the preseason, which is an exciting time. It's usually the time where fans can put the most stock into what their teams are up to and how they're performing. So also means that we're about 2 weeks away from really hitting the grind, and college football starting up next weekend. We do have a game this weekend as well, but not really a big one. Cal in Hawaii, out in Sydney, Australia. So we're close, man. We're really close to football starting next week, because it's really when the excitement begins, because college football kicks off. But hey, we've almost made it.
Yeah, for sure. This is always a fun time of year. You know, like you said, this is a dress rehearsal week, so it just means we're that close. And yeah, college starts next week, and a lot of big games week one. Alabama against USC, you've got Clemson visiting Auburn, Florida State against Ole Miss, Oklahoma against Houston. So a lot of great games to kick off the college weekend, which is something you don't usually see, but definitely with the college football playoff, it's definitely helping teams try to schedule more powerful teams to better their hopes. And like you said, 2 weeks away from the start of the season. So it was a long off season, but we finally made it.
Yep. And it sure was. I don't know why this off season just seemed like it dragged on. Don't know if it's just because our teams were pretty bad last year, but maybe so. Maybe our off season has been even longer, because we know that it's been over for a little while. So, but yeah, man, I'm ready to get this season started and have my dreams dashed quickly.
Yep. Yeah, our teams were pretty bad last year, and I think they're going to be pretty bad this year.
it does look like it so far.
And that's pretty much going to be the gist of this episode. We're going to kind of preview the teams a little bit and give our predictions for the season. So let's jump into it. Let's start with your guys in your division, the AFC East. Obviously, the big storyline there, Tom Brady out for the first four games of the season because of the Deflategate, which finally ended after about a million years. So Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, going to step in. He's got Arizona, I believe Buffalo, Houston, and forget who they're playing week two, but definitely some tough games. But they should probably still come out of that 2-2, maybe 3-1. And then when Tom Brady comes back, they'll probably just run roughshod through that division and probably, maybe not cruise the division title, but should have a fairly easy time getting through the division. So I think the Patriots are probably the pick here, and then we'll kind of get to the other teams a little bit. But what's your early take right now on the AFC East?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a tough division. I think all four teams have their positives and negatives, in the sense of, if things go really well for each team, you could conceivably make a good argument for them to winning the division. I think outside the Dolphins, just because their weaknesses are so strong. But they do have good strengths as well, and they've got some things to build around. So I think they're going to be at least an enjoyable team to watch. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you here. I like the Jets, but ultimately Ryan Fitzpatrick, I just can't put faith into him. The Buffalo Bills, I like that they locked up Tyrod Taylor long term, but again, it's a Rex Ryan team. They're starting to get a lot of injuries, suspensions, and basically missed games already. We're already counting missed games for them. That's a really bad thing in the preseason before the physical toll really even starts. So you know, I got to go the same here. I think Jimmy G is going to do an okay job. Their schedule starts off nicely for them. I think the Patriots are another 11-win season coming, and maybe even at least, maybe they even do better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to touch a bit too on Buffalo, because you brought up a good point. What an offseason they had, you know, like you mentioned, between injuries and suspensions, losing first-round pick Shaq Lawson to injury, Reggie Ragland, their second-round pick, out for the season, Marcell Dareus suspended 4 games. Just brutal blows to that defense.
It's almost unprecedented where you see that much already.
Mm-hmm.
So
soon.
Yeah, just right out of the gate. So yeah, I feel bad for Buffalo fans when, you know, in the offseason I actually ranked their team as the 10th most talented roster in the NFL. And, you know, maybe that was a little generous. And certainly there's a lot of teams that I could have put in there as well. But I think if you're looking at this team top to bottom, it's a really good team. They have stars all over. They've got solid depth, but it's hard to withstand. Even with depth, it's hard to withstand so many suspensions and injuries. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, also too, if it wasn't New England atop that division, you'd still probably give them a pretty good chance. But it's hard to do that at this point with New England looming.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you mentioned the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick. At least they finally got Fitzpatrick back. Fitzpatrick obviously gives them the best chance to win, you know, because it would have been really interesting if they would have went in with Geno Smith or Bryce Petty. They haven't even touched Christian Hackenberg yet this preseason. So talk about letting him sit and develop. And then Miami, we kind of talked about them before we went on the air here. You thought they looked pretty good in their preseason game against the Falcons, but you're thinking it's going to be another long season for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at maybe like a 6-win team this year. Again, just defensively, just so many holes. They've continued to just neglect the defense for too long. And, you know, I think it's going to culminate into another rough season this year. But I'm optimistic on Adam Gase. I really like Adam Gase as the head coach. I think offensively it's going to be a fun team, and I think there'll be a major improvement there. If Devontae Parker, you know, I've got major concerns about Devontae Parker. You know, I wasn't sold on him coming out. Thought he was a nice, not an amazing player. You know, some people had AJ Green as the comp for him. I didn't see it that way. So far, it's basically what's happened. But, you know, we'll see. It's way too early. I'm not writing him off. If he can step up and be a stud for the Dolphins, that's going to make a major difference. I am concerned with their lack of run blocking so far. They're starting 4 offensive tackles, essentially, and then obviously Mike Pouncey's out. So, you know, we'll see how they do, but I'm not too optimistic here as we enter the season.
Let's move on. It's always funny. It's always fun recording a podcast and, you know, following Twitter with live football. So I think we have to talk about the NFC East now, because as we're talking right now, Tony Romo is hurt again.
Yep.
All I'm seeing on Twitter right now, and, you know, for those listening later, this is, you know, it's a little after 10 Eastern time, Thursday night, so during the Cowboys game. And Romo apparently has hurt his back again. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not good for Dallas if he's down, and it definitely throws the NFC East up in the air, just like it did last year.
Pretty routine play. Rewatching it now, he's starting to scramble, steps up in the pocket, obviously, from behind. Looks like maybe it was Cliff Avril that hit him from behind.
I think so.
You know, not really you know, he's sliding down and a lot of weight jams him. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and we'll obviously find out. Hopefully it's not bad news. You know, maybe even like a chiropractor. Maybe he just kind of got, you know, crumpled up, maybe go see a chiropractor, maybe be as easy as that. Hopefully it's not anything serious. But I mean, he's had a bad back for years, and you know, taking hits as an NFL quarterback, all it does is take one. So, you know, hopefully he's okay. As good as Dak Prescott has looked, their NFL Super Bowl hopes and dreams will crash and burn if he's seriously hurt.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I thought the Giants were a dark horse in this division, because at this point you can't trust the health of Tony Romo. You can't go in anymore thinking he's going to play 16 games, and now he's already having back issues, and we're not even out of the preseason. So, and with, you know, you look at a team like Washington, how are they going to handle the pressure of, you know, being the defending division champs, because they're not usually in this position. Obviously, a tough schedule facing teams like Carolina and Arizona. Because on paper, the Giants are definitely look improved, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, picking up guys like because I'm completely drawing a blank. I'm sorry. The kid from Miami.
Oh yeah, Olivier Vernon.
Olivier Vernon
got Janoris Jenkins, cornerback.
Yep.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money this offseason.
They did.
And you know, I think it was a move that they had to make. I mean, I don't blame them. Yeah, did they overpay their guys? Yeah, they did. But I mean, it's understandable. Their GM's under a lot of fire and scrutiny. You know, they've got Eli Manning, and he doesn't have much time left. You know, maybe 3 to 5 years at the most. So, you know, you've got to win now. And so that means spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And the offense looks like it's going to be pretty good, especially with Ben McAdoo now as head coach. Victor Cruz looks like he's finally sort of starting to get healthy. He's apparently expected to play Saturday against the Jets, so we'll see how he does. And then obviously Odell Beckham, not much needs to be said there. And then Sterling Shepard, the rookie out of Oklahoma, seems to be getting a lot of hype coming out of camp. So early on, it sounds like that was a pretty good hit for the Giants in round two. Running game, we'll see how that goes with Shane Vereen and rookie Paul Perkins, Rashawn Jennings. The O-line's going to be the interesting question, though. You know, can Eric Flowers hold up? Can the rest of the line hold up? We'll see. But if things kind of come together, I think the Giants can take this division. I think I'm going to, and you know, that'll be my, I'll go out a bit on a limb here. I'll go bold here. I'll say the Giants take the division.
Yeah, I like it. I think this division is really up in the air. I don't trust Romo's back, but I think just in terms of talent and coaching, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I know it's the in pick, and you know, we all know that, but I'm not sold on the Redskins. I think defensively they still have quite a bit there that they need to patch up. They don't have much of a run game. I don't like Kirk Cousins too much, even though he's surrounded by amazing talent at wide receiver and tight end. And Jay Gruden's done a heck of a job there. You know, maybe I'll be proven wrong. I don't think they're a bad team. I think they'll be right in the thick of it along with the Giants. I think it's going to be a very, very close decision, and you're talking about maybe one or two games is what this will all boil down to. And maybe, you know, if Romo misses a game or two, maybe that decides it. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. I'm going with like a 9-7 record. It does sound like Romo is starting to warm up a little bit on the sideline too, so maybe he's okay. But again, though, like you mentioned, this is always a concern. This, even if he goes back in or even if he's A-okay, this doesn't just go away. You know, this is going to be a weekly, every single time that he gets hit, it's going to be a concern.
And we haven't even touched on the Eagles, but I think it's pretty clear both of us probably think they'll be dead last in this division.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't shock me.
you know, Bradford stinks. There's not a whole lot of talent on that offense outside of Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz and maybe Darren Sproles, you know, because, again, we talk about injuries. Ryan Matthews is another example. You know, how is he going to hold up, especially now that he's kind of the de facto number one running back now that DeMarco Murray's in Tennessee? O-line is a major issue.
Yep.
Especially at the bookend tackles with Jason Peters, you know, having health issues lately. Lane Johnson's looking at a 10-game suspension. So and they don't have much depth on that O-line either. So with those two going down, and that's what made the Doriel Green-Beckham trade just really weird to me, too. Like, I understand bringing in the talent, but you traded a player at a position that you don't have much depth at to bring in Green-Beckham. So, I don't know. At least the defense looks like it should be pretty good. You know, they even at cornerback, they seem to finally have a little bit of stability with Nolan Carroll and, you know, whoever starts... whoever's opposite him, and report to them. Jenkins, so, and they bring in Steven Tulloch, who probably is going to get one of the linebacker spots, maybe the Will, because Jordan Hicks at the mic is a stud, and then obviously the front line is pretty good.
I'm excited to see him back healthy. Yeah,
absolutely.
And one thing that the Eagles have going for them, obviously I was really high on them last year, and it didn't work out. You know, crashed and burned, but that's okay. What I'm interested to see is, even without that first-round pick, how do their young guys develop? Like you mentioned, you've got Hicks there. He's a beast. You've obviously got a very talented defensive line. Malcolm Jenkins, he's not a young guy, but he's still a star. But you do have young guys at cornerback. You've also got young guys at wide receiver, a whole slew of them. I know some people on Twitter have asked me, you know, who are some vet guys that they can go get? To be honest, I don't think that should be the concern here. I think the concern needs to be, let's get DGB to become a star. Let's get Nelson Agholor up to speed and become a star. Mm-hmm. Let's get Carson Wentz on the field if we start slow. You know, if this team starts 2-5, 2-6, 3-6 even, something like that. Just put in Carson Wentz. Get him in there. Start getting him some looks. You know, if they can get him anywhere between 6 and 9 games of experience, that's going to really bode well for them in the future. They can move on from Bradford in the offseason next year. You know, best case scenario, they're in the thick of it. They start Bradford all year. And, you know, hey, maybe they make the playoffs. Maybe that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you need to get your young guys playing, get them experience. So even if it's a bad year, there's some positives that can come from it. The biggest disaster that could happen is that the young guys don't take that step forward and, you know, you have injury issues with them. Obviously, you're not hoping for that. That's worst case scenario. Even in that scenario, though, even you know, at least then you know that you can move on from guys like DGB and Agholor, or at least you know start building with them not in mind. Don't get rid of them, but you know you don't count on them either. So it may be a rough season. I think it will be a rough season, but there can still be a lot of learning about the organization and who the future will be.
And I'll go ahead and say right now, it would not surprise me if the Browns upset the Eagles. I don't even know how much of an upset it would be, but it wouldn't surprise me too much if the Browns beat the Eagles in week one.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Browns on defense are a mess, but I'm just really excited to see Robert Griffin mm-hmm. with that team. And, you know, those are two of the worst, probably the worst 10 teams in the league. I don't think the Browns are awful. Like, if they ripped off 6 or 7 wins, like, it wouldn't surprise me. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they won 3 games. I don't know what it is about them. It's hard to get a pulse for them because I know that they're not very good and they're so young. But yeah, man, I think it's going to be an entertaining game with two bad teams, mm-hmm. but teams that I really like their future. Yeah. If things fall in the right place, these could be really good teams.
And that's a nice little segue. We'll move into the AFC North. So, you know, couple more points I want to touch on with the Browns. Really been exciting to see the evolution of Terrell Pryor as a wide receiver. It's really amazing how successful he's been at making the transition from quarterback to wide receiver, and that's obviously only going to help this Browns offense, because now you have a third weapon in that wide receiver core. I mean, you know, the first few weeks of the season, it'll really only be Coleman and Pryor, but then come week five, here comes Josh Gordon back, and now all of a sudden you've got Gordon, you've got Coleman, you've got Pryor. Running game, you've got Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. And people may not think, but the Browns have one of the better offensive lines in the league. You know, they've one of the best bookend tackles in the league, and Joe Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz. I'm sorry, Mitchell Schwartz isn't there anymore.
Yeah, they failed to re-sign him.
That's right, I apologize.
Which is shocking. They should have, though. I would have really have liked this offense if they would have brought him back.
If they would have still had Mitchell Schwartz, they would have had one of the better duels. But that's right, because they lost Schwartz, they lost Alex Mack to Atlanta. So now you kind of have to hope that Cameron Irving kind of develops, and you know, at least he's a little versatile, because you know, he's obviously played a couple positions at Florida State. So we'll see. But obviously Joe Thomas is still one of the better left tackles. Joel Bitonio is a nice guard. And then the defense, you know, losing Tayshaun Gibson is going to hurt. Absolutely. So, you know, we'll see. Browns will be an interesting team. Like I said, they could win maybe six games, or they could be one of the worst teams. But on the bright side, they're probably looking at two top 10 picks next year, which isn't all that bad. And then the rest of the division, Baltimore's intriguing, because there's been reports lately now that they might go with a four-headed horse at running back. Guys like Buck Allen, Justin Forsett, and a couple others. Should be interesting to see how that plays out. Joe Flacco coming off a torn ACL. Terrell Suggs coming off his injury. Matt Elam's injured again. So we'll see how the secondary does.
Yeah. Be interesting seeing Eric Weddle in a New Jersey. Because he'll be there.
That was definitely a nice pickup for the Ravens, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it cost him Will Hill, who was suspended. And, you know, he's having his issues staying on the field. But, you know, I'm interested to see what he has left. Obviously, my guy Jimmy Smith, one of my favorite corners in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like Baltimore could be the worst team in that division. Like, I know that seems maybe surprising, but man, though, they're relying on so many dudes that were injured last year.
Yep. I mean, they did bring in Mike Wallace, but, you know, how much does he really have left in the tank? It'll be tough. It could be a tough year for the Ravens, excuse me. Bengals, on the other hand, they should have a good season. You know, even with the loss of Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Boyd has seemed to step up pretty quickly and is looking like a pretty nice complimentary piece to AJ Green. Still have the two solid running backs, Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. I like their offensive line. I obviously like their defense as well. I'm still a big Geno Atkins fan. You know, they do lose. You know, they do have a suspension on that defense for the first three games. But, with Vontaze Burfict, he's going to miss the first three games. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals come away with this division, you know, especially with the Steelers. Steelers are going to be a tough team to figure out with, you know, Martavis Bryant out for the season. Le'Veon Bell is out for the first three games, but, you know, D'Angelo Williams is still more than capable of holding down the fort till Bell gets back. I don't know. It could be a coin flip, but you know, I think I'm going to lean in the favor of the Steelers, actually. I think I'm going to pick the Steelers slightly ahead of the Bengals, but I think the Bengals will probably end up getting a wild card and probably losing the first round of the playoffs again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, this is a tough one here. I think the Bengals, it's going to be hard because they lost so much this offseason offensively. And Eifert's had some injury issues already.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, their defense, they played well last year. They played better. But I still feel like it's a bend-don't-break defense, and ultimately you can't really trust those defenses. Ben Roethlisberger really wasn't himself last year. I think the last 2 years you're starting to see decline in him, and again, you have injury issues with him as well. This is a really tough one. I'm going to go with the Steelers here just because I don't trust Dalton. I don't trust the Steelers either, really, but I trust Roethlisberger a little bit more than Dalton. So, man, I'm going to – it's close. It's so close. I'm going to say Steelers with 10 wins win in a tiebreaker against the Bengals. I think the Bengals hit double digits again. But, man, those two are just literally so similar as far as their talent level. And they're both very talented teams. They've both built well through the draft in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the NFC North. And, you know, last year the Vikings were the trendy sleeper pick, and they wound up winning the division on the last week of the season, and had, of course, the unfortunate exit from the playoffs. So now they're back. Teddy Bridgewater's ready to go. They bring in Laquon Treadwell to try to help the passing game. And you got the Packers, Aaron Rodgers hopefully ready to shake off what was a pretty bad season last year. He definitely wasn't himself. And they do get Jordy Nelson back. Eddie Lacy hoping to bounce back. We'll see on defense too, now that they finally have Clay Matthews out on the outside where he belongs. The NFC North are going to be another tough division, I think. Could be another dogfight between the Packers and the Vikings.
Yep.
Don't see much from the Bears. Lions will be okay. You know, I like the Marvin Jones addition. I think he's going to really be a nice compliment and take some pressure off of Golden Tate. Running game should be really interesting in Detroit. You know, how they split things up between, you know, Zach Zenner and Dwayne Washington. And, you know, Amir Abdullah.
They're going to be a fun team. Jim Bob Cooter did a good job with them when he took over as offensive coordinator last year. Losing Megatron, it's going to be really interesting to see how they recover from that. Which is a shame, man. I'm going to miss seeing him play, but
it's going to be weird seeing the off lines and not seeing 81 for sure.
Right. So I think I'm with you here. I think it's just between the Packers and Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I just think they have a deeper roster. I think it's more balanced. Their defense is the Packers' defense is certainly no slouch. But they tend to have a lot of injuries, whereas the Vikings, I think, are better built as far as a season-long. It's a lot of young guys, a lot of guys in their prime. That bodes well for them, I think. Guys really hitting their stride as opposed to the Packers who are relying on older talent. Then their defensive line is a little bit of a mess. A couple suspensions in there as well. Obviously, on offense, the Vikings, you're expecting Teddy Bridgewater to take a little bit of a jump. You know, he's been okay thus far, and I think that he's got to hit that next level, and I think that he has the talent around him to now take that next level. Treadwell, he might not be a huge contributor this season. He hasn't looked great in preseason, but that's okay because they've added some other pieces there with the offensive line specifically, and Stephon Diggs has been playing well. I do think Treadwell will eventually contribute. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how quickly they can hit their stride on offense if they do hit their stride. And if they do quickly, then you know the Packers are really going to have to play well early on to keep that a close fight. Because remember, Packers last year, again, with a really good defense, still finished a game behind. So they're going to have to see an uptick in production from their receivers, which I do expect with Jordy Nelson back. But all in all, this is going to be a really close one. I'm with you here. I think Detroit's going to be a very competitive team. I just don't think that they're going to be in there. There may be an 8-win team. Chicago, to me, just looks like another 6-win team. You know, they've made improvements, and I actually really like what they've done the last couple of years. I just don't see enough star power there to really carry them when they need it the most.
And I'll go ahead and agree with you and pick the Vikings in the North, and Packers will certainly be in contention for a wild card again. Let's go on to what I think should be one of the more interesting divisions in the NFL this season. It's the AFC South. 8-8 took this division last year with Houston. Or no, I'm sorry, 9-7. I'm sorry, that's right. Houston was 9-7 because they avoided what would have been a really weird tiebreaker if the Texans and Colts would have both ended up 8-8. But Houston's the defending division champs, but they've taken some blows so far this preseason. Obviously, the big story is J.J. Watt. He's trying to get ready for week one, and it's sounding like he may be able to play week one. We'll see. They did just lose their expected starting center, rookie Nick Martin. You know, of course, they had already lost last year's starting center, Ben Jones, to the Titans. And now we're hearing Dwayne Brown is injured as well. So, a bit of a couple of hits to the Texans' O-line. But obviously the big moves they made, Lamar Miller, and of course a quarterback, Mr. $18 million a year, Brock Osweiler, which just goes to show you the quarterback market. They draft two receivers in the first three rounds, including first-rounder Will Fuller. Try to take some pressure off Nuke Hopkins, even though Nuke Hopkins is just an outstanding receiver, even by himself. The Colts, you know, obviously Andrew Luck's got to play better, but some of that, too, falls on the offensive line because that O-line was just atrocious last year. One reason they went out and drafted guys like Ryan Kelly in the first round and LaRaven Clark in the third round. You know, got to get better protection there, got to get better play. Frank Gore, the seemingly ageless wonder, Frank Gore, still there. And they're expecting big jumps this year from guys like Dante Moncrief and Philip Dorsett. So, you know, that offense is going to be interesting to watch. And, of course, everybody's sleeper team this year, the Jaguars, really went out.
Literally everyone's.
It really is. And even Eric Hedholm last night on Twitter asked about sleeper teams, and he said he can't count Jacksonville or Oakland because they're everybody's sleeper team. But, I mean, for good reason. Jacksonville went out and they splurged because they know they're pretty much in a win-now mode. Do I think they win the division? Probably not this year, but I think next year is going to be... Next year could be their year. Don't know if they're ready to make the jump this year. You know, I see them maybe as about a 7-win team. I think I'm going to go ahead and take the Colts in this division. Slightly over the Texans, I think. The Colts should get better play from the offense, and I think that could be just a little bit what they need to get them over the hump, you know, especially with some of the issues the Texans have been having this preseason.
Yeah, this is another tough one. I mean, you can make an argument for the top three teams, Texans, Colts, Jaguars. I'm kind of with you here. I don't think that this is the year for the Jaguars. I think they're maybe a year away. It's just hard with a lot of that much young talent to actually come in and deliver on that and those expectations. I think that's going to be hard. I'm going to go with the Texans. Colts roster is just so bad. It's so bad outside of Luck and the wide receivers. I can't imagine him carrying them that far. I'm going to go with the Texans. I just think they've got a pretty strong roster. Their offense is going to be, I think, very competent. At the very least, very competent. So that's my pick. I do think it'll be close, though. The Jaguars, who knows? Maybe they will deliver. It's just when everyone seems to pick them, you know what I mean? It seems like that team always falls, and we see that every year, especially the team that won the offseason by their draft picks or their free agent signings. Obviously, they had a headlining draft by Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, and I think those will be two solid players for them. But again, though, rookies generally don't have that much of an impact on winning teams, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm rooting for them. I like seeing them good. They've been so bad for so long. I hope that I'm wrong. I think they'll be a 2017 team, though. I'm with you there.
Mm-hmm. And then the Titans, they'll probably be one of the bottom teams, but at least they have their quarterback of the future, Marcus Mariota. Running game will be interesting to watch, how they split things up with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. Overall, you know, just poor coaching is ultimately what's going to hold the Texans or the Titans back. You know, but we shall see.
Yeah, I think the Titans will be good eventually, but they're so young, and obviously Mike Mularkey, a head coach, that's a pretty questionable move. But I do like that. I love the core that they've built. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have kept DGB. But I understand, you know, it's a lot of issues. That guy, he needs a wake-up call, mm-hmm. and hopefully Philadelphia can give it to him.
Possible.
Yeah, but overall, though, I mean, I like that Mariota-Henry pairing and then DeMarco Murray as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over to the NFC South. Obviously, the head of the class, the reigning NFC champion Carolina Panthers, who pretty much bring everyone back and obviously regain Kelvin Benjamin, who's coming off a torn ACL. But obviously they've got the big targets on their back, so I don't think we're going to see another 15-1 season out of the Panthers. But they should still be the favorites in this division, you know, as long as Cam's there doing what he does. Solid running game still with Jonathan Stewart, and they're liking Cameron Artis Payne. You know, again, Benjamin back. You've got Devin Funchess, who really came into his own as his rookie season wore on. And then, obviously, the defense, not much we need to talk about there. Well, except for the fact that they lost Josh Norman. But, you know, there's something. Josh Norman may not be all that great, so it remains to be seen how much of an impact losing Norman will actually have on the Panthers. So that'll be certainly fun to watch. And, you know, going up against the Broncos week one is a good test. You know, seeing Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Sneaky team in this division, though, Tampa Bay. You know, I think you're going to see a bit of improvement from them. You know, you saw the jump from 2 wins to 6 last year. Now you have Dirk Cutter as head coach, so at least you have that bit of consistency there. Jameis Winston had a very good rookie season, should take a step up in year 2 as he you know, continue his connection with Mike Evans. Doug Martin had a bounce back year. Charles Sims is a nice backup, and you know, so I mean, maybe not. They might actually compete for a playoff spot. They might actually be a sleeper playoff team. You know, they could sneak in there as that second wild card.
Yeah, I mean, they got close last year. They finished the year. They were in the mix until, you know, last couple weeks, which is impressive for a young team like that. And yeah, I think that they'll do well. I think the Panthers will again win the division, but I think Tampa won't be too far behind them. I do think Carolina kind of takes a step back because their schedule's going to be a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, Cam Newton's amazing, but and, you know, he's surrounded by good talent on that offense, and that defense is obviously very good as well. But overall, I don't think that they're going to be another 12-plus win team, maybe a 10-win team, 10, 11, maybe 12 at the max. But I would say 10 or 11 just because, I mean, it's just hard to win that many games in the NFL back-to-back years. So, you know, for them, I think that they'll have a good year, win the division. I think that the Bucks will win a wild card spot. I think they'll be the number two team in the division. I think they might hit 8 or 9 wins. I think the Falcons take a big step back. I think they're a bad football team. I think you're looking at maybe a top five pick this year. And maybe they move on from Matt Ryan. I think that he's a major issue there. Arm strength has gone down the toilet. He's been really bad since Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White started declining and left. Those are major issues for them. With that in mind, you know, is that they need to have an elite cast for him. Well, quite frankly, if you need to have that type of talent around him, he's not worth it. And he's like 30, 31 years old now, too. With his cap number, it'd just be better just to restart with like a Deshaun Watson type. So if they do end up bombing this season, it might not be a bad thing. So, you know, for them, I look for them to have a sharp decline. And I think the Saints will be in the same range they were last year. 7-8 wins, 7-9 last year. I think that their defense is still horrible, but their offense is always going to be competent because of Drew Brees and their receivers. So Sean Payton as well, obviously a great mind. So I think this will be another competitive division, especially for that number two spot. And I would expect that number two spot to get one of the wild cards.
And what's interesting, and you mentioned how the Saints' defense was pretty bad, losing Haloi Kikaa just makes it even worse, because now, where's the pass rush going to come from? He was expected to be that main pass rush specialist for the Saints, and now he's done for the year.
Right.
So, where's the pass rush going to come from, besides Cam Jordan?
Yeah, man, it's a good question. It's a good question. Junior Gallette obviously has been gone now for 2 years, a couple major injuries with Washington. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to look at this defense and take it seriously. I mean, they've got some young guys, Delvin Bro, P.J. Williams. Those guys could maybe show some continue their development. I'd like to see Jairus Byrd maybe come back healthy at free safety, but that's obviously a huge if. That would be great to see because how good he used to be. But, I mean, it's generally difficult to expect that major injuries for multiple years to come back healthy. So, yeah, I think that'll be a fun division, though, overall. And I'm looking forward to seeing if really focusing in on the Panthers and the Bucks and seeing how those two grow as rivals.
And I guess guys like P.J. Williams and Bro probably made Keenan Lewis expendable, especially with all his injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's another guy. He really hasn't been the same since 2013.
Yeah.
When he left Pittsburgh, that was really when he was at his peak, and that's a long time ago. I mean, I don't know if they're really missing anything by cutting him.
Let's move to the AFC West, where, of course, you have the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, who sound like they will be going with Trevor Siemian as their starting quarterback. Poor Mark Sanchez. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't even know where to start with that, because, you know, nothing against Trevor Siemian, but the fact that Mark Sanchez couldn't beat him out. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm shocked. When I scouted Trevor Siemian for Optimum Scouting a couple years ago out of Northwestern, I never once thought that this was an NFL-caliber starter. I thought maybe low-end backup, training camp arm. So props for John Elway for finding someone who could, you know, and yeah, the competition is low and they're keeping Paxton Lynch out of it, really. But, you know, props to them for developing him. We'll see. I still think he'll be a bad starter. He hasn't looked good in the preseason, I don't think. But, you know, it's props to him, props to the work that he's done. I am excited to see what becomes of it.
Yeah. But of course, not all is bad in Denver. You still have the elite weapons and Demaryius Thomas. You have, obviously, a good running back in C.J. Anderson. And then, of course, your elite defense. Obviously, talent all across the board. Now, they did lose Malik Jackson, but you still have Derek Wolfe there on the interior line, who's a great defensive tackle. So, that defense really is what's probably going to keep Denver competitive and, you know, maybe keep them in competition for the division. But, boy, and we've talked about this with so many teams in the past. The quarterback issue sometimes just looms too large, no matter how good the rest of the roster is. If you take away quarterbacks, Denver's roster is right near the top. There's no question. Once you add quarterbacks into the mix, it takes a huge hit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it, and I don't really know. I don't know. It's pretty unprecedented to see that sort of drop in such a crucial position like that. So I,
especially, you know, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's so much uncertainty. I think around Siemian and even if Sanchez has to play, you know, I'm gonna go here. You know, I'm looking at the rest of that division. The Chiefs had a huge run last year. They seem to be, you know, doing good. They lost Sean Smith, which that's going to hurt. But they finished last year with a 10-game win streak. And you've got the Raiders, who are obviously another hot choice for you know, up-and-coming team. And then you've got the Chargers, who are healthy. I'm going to probably go with the Chiefs here. I think it's the Chiefs' year to win this division. I think the Raiders, like the Jaguars, are 1 year away. Their young quarterbacks need to kind of make that next step. But that's going to be extremely tight race, I think. Those are some very good teams.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger a bit here, and I'm going to pick the Raiders to win the West. I think this could be their year. I think Derek Carr or Amari Cooper, I just have faith in that connection. You know, Michael Crabtree has done a nice job not falling off the face of the earth since leaving San Francisco. And that defense just looks astounding. But, you know, obviously Kansas City's defense is still great as well. Boy, I mean, like you said, and even San Diego, for as dumb as they look in this saga with Joey Bosa right now, which is just absolutely ridiculous that it's been lingering on this long. If they can stay healthy, they might be up there. They could. They'll keep games competitive. They've got talent on both sides of the ball. It would not surprise me if all four of these teams are pretty close at season's end. You know,
yeah.
It definitely could be either one of those two games in Week 17: the Chiefs against the Chargers, the Raiders against the Broncos. Both of those games easily could be for the division crown.
Oh yeah, no question. No question. And that'll be great. I mean, I think it's, especially because you have such young quarterbacks, and then you've got Phillip Rivers and Alex Smith. And so you can kind of see the storyline shaping already, depending on how these young quarterbacks work out. I mean, for all we know, maybe Mark Sanchez gets in there by week 6 and maybe Simeon just struggles that much, or maybe, for example, you know, Derek Carr is on fire and just, you know, really claims his one of the thrones as one of the top young quarterbacks, and those things are fun to watch unfold, and those things can definitely swing a race very quickly.
And last but not least, we'll talk NFC West. And I think it's pretty clear this is a two-horse race between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. The Niners just look... I mean, Carlos Hyde has been running well, but overall I think that the Niners are probably going to be one of the worst teams this season. The and then you have the Los Angeles 7-9s. You know, wouldn't surprise me if they finish around there again, because that's just become their specialty. That's the Jeff Fisher specialty. 7-9, 8-8. But you know, between the Cardinals and Seahawks, obviously two great teams, but boy, the Cardinals just continue to look pretty darn good. David Johnson is just outstanding. We'll see how Carson Palmer bounces back from what was an absolutely atrocious performance in the NFC Championship. But, and on defense, they locked up Tyrann Mathieu long term, which was really nice for them. It's really nice to see, you know, after the struggles he had at LSU, really nice to see the way he's kind of turned both his career and really his life around to become one of the better safeties in the NFL, and that's a credit to Bruce Arians, of course, too, who is easily one of the best coaches in the NFL. There's no question about that, and you obviously see that if you watched the series about the Cardinals, mm-hmm. All or Nothing, on Amazon Prime. So my pick's going to be the Cardinals here in the NFC West. You know, just over the Seahawks, but obviously the Seahawks are going to keep things competitive. But boy, that offensive line, even with the addition of Jari Evans, even with the drafting of Jermaine Ifedi, still a question mark. And we've seen how poor offensive line can really hurt a team, and that could be the difference between these two teams.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's really down to, for me, it's about Carson Palmer, and for the Cardinals, and then it's also about how that offensive line stacks up, and then how they do without beast mode for Seattle. And these are two, possibly, maybe the two best teams in the NFL. So I think it's going to be down to those two. I think the other two in the division, the Rams and the Rams have a decent roster. I think Jared Goff needs to start sooner than later for them. You know, I understand why they're starting Case Keenum. You know, I did think Goff would beat him out, but, you know, after watching him in the preseason, you know, Goff is, you know, still learning some nuances of the NFL. And in fairness, he's played with some very bad teammates as well. The Rams are not in a position to help their young quarterback succeed. A lot of drops, just like the Eagles, you know. A lot of drops from their young receivers, but they actually have less talent. Outside of Todd Gurley, they really don't have a buildable offensive weapon. Tavon Austin's okay, but that's about it. So, you know, I'm looking at this team, this Rams team, and I'm saying, okay, it's probably another 6-8 win team. They may get to 8 wins just because the 49ers may only win 2 games. I think they'll probably be the number one pick after this year. They'll take Deshaun Watson, and Chip Kelly will just wreak havoc with Deshaun Watson at his disposal. But, you know, looking at the top of this, it's very difficult for me to project this. I'm with you on that. I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well, just because I think that they've got a little bit more reliable and balanced offense. You know, David Johnson in the mix. They've got a good offensive line. Carson Palmer, you know, He's tough because, you know, he can be injured as well, and that's – he really struggles when he gets injured. He's not one of those gamers that really fights through it. If he's not 100%, he doesn't do great. And I'm not faulting him for that. It's just there's guys like that. And his game is predicated on precision, and it's hard to do that when you're hurt. So, I'm going to go ahead with the Cardinals here. I think that these are both teams that could win upwards of 11 games. And certainly one of the wild card positions is coming from this division.
So let's quick recap, and then we'll get into our playoff picks. So the NFC, I've got the Giants, the Vikings, the Panthers, and the Cardinals as division winners. AFC, Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Raiders. And your picks, quick.
I'm sorry?
If you just want to recap your division picks.
Oh, yeah. So I've got, just double check here what I had. I had the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Texans, and the AFC. I've got the Cowboys, Cardinals, Vikings, and Panthers in the NFC. So mostly repeats. The big differences were the AFC, NFC, or AFC West and North, and then the NFC East were my big changes.
Wild cards, AFC, I'm going to go with Kansas City and Cincinnati. So I believe that puts me at two new playoff teams in the AFC.
I'll go Oakland, surprising, over the Jets. And then I'll also go for my second AFC team. I think I've got to go Bengals. I think the Bengals will make it again.
NFC, I will say, I want to put the Buccaneers in there so bad. Do I take out the Packers or the Seahawks?
Oh. Those are my two, by the way. Yeah. Packers and Seahawks.
It feels like I should go Packers, Seahawks. But I feel like the Buccaneers could surprise and maybe take one of those wild cards. Because I think I have to put... Because I probably have to put Seattle in as one of the playoff teams. I mean, even with the O-line issues, they're still one of the more talented teams in the NFC, especially compared to so many other teams in the NFC. You know, because the NFC really is so top-heavy. So, Seattle will be one wild card. And yeah, I'll go ahead and put Tampa Bay in. I'll go a bit bold. I'll put some new blood in there. I'll put the Buccaneers in, just over the Packers.
I like it. I like it. I would be very pleasantly happy, and pleasantly surprised if that happened. I'm all for new teams making it into the playoffs. We can get some new faces there. I don't think it'll happen. But, one injury, and that's all that it takes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd love it. I really would. I hope we get some new faces in the playoffs this year.
And then I guess we'll go ahead and make Super Bowl picks here.
Yeah.
I will go ahead and pit the Patriots against the Cardinals. And I will say Tom Brady laughs in everyone's face as he hoists his fourth Lombardi trophy. Actually, no, I'm sorry. This would be his fifth Lombardi trophy. But I will say the Patriots do it once again. They beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
I will go... Yeah, I think this is the Cardinals' year. I think the Cardinals will make the Super Bowl. And AFC, man, the AFC is tough. I'm not going to pick the Patriots just because I don't like the Patriots. um, Boy, though, it's hard not to pick them. I'm going to go Patriots and Steelers. And I'll, or I'm sorry, Cardinals and Steelers. And I'll pick the Cardinals to win it.
All right. Rematch of Super Bowl 43, but opposite result. Maybe this time Ben doesn't find his receiver in the corner of the end zone.
Nope. This time I've got I'll take John Brown in the back of the end zone to crush the hopes of the Steelers.
There you go. So there you have it. Our picks are in. We're both pretty all in on the Cardinals. And it's always interesting to see how things play out and which teams surprise us that we didn't expect and which teams we did expect to surprise flounder.
Yep, it always happens. We will be wrong.
There is no doubt about that. Any final thoughts, my friend?
No, I don't think so. I'm excited. Like I said, hopefully we get some fresh faces there in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you know, hey, hopefully I'm wrong. Yeah, I won't be upset if I'm wrong. So, it'll be a good season though. Lots of storylines. It's very close. Not that many teams stand out from each other, and that always makes for a fun season.
Absolutely. So with that, wraps up another fine episode, I'd say. So our predictions are in, and I look forward to seeing how wrong I am. So enjoy the rest of preseason week 3, the rest of the dress rehearsals, and get ready for the first wave of cutdowns, too. I believe it's Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon is the first wave, the cut to 75, and then the final preseason week, and then the cut to 53, and then we're ready to go. The Super Bowl rematch kicks things off. We'll be talking week 1 very shortly, so hang in there, folks. We're almost there, so thanks as always for listening. We really do appreciate it. For Ian Wharton, I'm Bill Rossetti. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time right here on GG. Take care, my friends.